Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
Well, I'm going to unpack a parable that Jesus told today. And really, I'm going to camp there. We're not really going to go here and there, everywhere. We're in this one chunk of scripture that I really feel God has given me something for us. Specifically. So if you've brought your hard Bible, I know lots of you, I've seen lots of hard Bibles around the room. I love a hard copy Bible. If you're a digital Bible person, can I encourage you to get the hard one out sometime so that you're not distracted by your phone or texting. I know sometimes down the front here, we've got a little chat and someone will say, you know, oh, I like her shoes. Oh, what's happened with her hair? Can someone fix, you know, like, don't worry about it. So good, we're here. Let's just get in the Word. And so if you've got your hard Bible, Luke 15, we're going to read together. Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. It is the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. So, you know, this term, the prodigal, is actually used out there in the world as a bit of, whatever the English term is for that. Is it an idiom? Is it a, someone will tell me. Anyway, never mind. It's a word we hear, the prodigal. It's about this returning, this person who was far away, was lost, returned. So this story may be familiar to you, but we're going to read it through because I want us to really see the picture that Jesus was painting on this particular day. So here we go. Luke 15, verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to the father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, oh my gosh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring and put it on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And so he called to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. And the servant replied, 'Your brother has come home. And your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he's come back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back and squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. It's such a visual story. I don't know about you, but I can see this picture so clearly, of the farm, the place where the father was with all his servants around him, and he's got his son working with him, and the other son comes and wants to take his wealth, his inheritance with him, and off he goes, like he heads out and heads into a foreign land, and then he comes back. It's such a visual picture. I'm a visual person. I don't know about you, but as I read this story, I can see this picture of what's happening here. And Jesus told stories, he told parables to help people understand the kingdom of God, to understand who God was. This is a story. Sometimes when we read in the Bible, we call it an account. It's something that actually happened. It's historical, but this was a story Jesus told. He made it up. It's like a fable. It's a story to help us understand who God is and what was going on. Jesus wanted them to understand the kingdom. So Jesus has just told two other parables right before this, the lost coin and the lost sheep, and then he talks about the lost son. And the whole idea of these three stories is to reveal who the Father is. We can get distracted by the sons. We think the story is all about the sons, but the story is actually about the Father. The story is revealing to us the heart of the Father. Here he was watching, waiting, expectant for his lost son. Here he is fully understanding and gracious and compassionate with the second son when he whinges and complains. The center of this story is the Father. The Father, that we would have our eyes upon the Father, our heavenly Father. You know, so often we have a distorted view of Father. We think, when we think of God the Father, we want to compare it to human fathers. And no matter how amazing your father was, there's no way he can compare to our Father in heaven. And I know for some of us, Father is a difficult thing to get our heads around. We've had disappointment, we've had hurt. But really, I almost feel like he should have a different name. Why do we call him Father? Because we get disconnected from who he is because we want it to be in human context. We can't think in human context when it comes to our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is the ultimate. Ezekiel 34 tells us that he was concerned, that he's a healer, that he guides us, that he strengthens us. Exodus 34, 6 and 7, it says, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate Lord, God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. This is the heart of the Father. Our Father is for us. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's loving. He's generous. He's forgiving. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 tells us that because of his great love. Whose great love? God the Father's. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace we have been saved. Our God, the Father, is just magnificent. He is so good to us. He is worthy of all our praise and honor. And Jesus puts, because he told the story, remember, Jesus made this story up. And Jesus put these two sons in the story to help us understand the Father. So we see the Father's reaction to the sons. This is the significant thing, is how he responds, because you and I, we're told that we are his sons and daughters, that we have that position of child, adopted child, into God's family when we receive Jesus. So we come into the family. We are sons and daughters of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Don't worry about the gender. It's just son of God, daughter of God. So we belong in God's family. And so how God the Father responds to these two sons is how he responds to us. Jesus is showing us that how he responds to the first one was the faraway son. I don't know about you, but I started far away. We all start far away from God. We all start needing a Savior, needing to come back to our Father, to have that moment. It says in the story, he came to his senses. I remember I was sitting in a nightclub one night, yes? I know, right there, you're all shocked. I went to one once. And honestly, this was when I was fallen, I was backslidden, fallen, whatever you want to call it. I was not doing well in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I'd gone on a date to a nightclub. I've got to tell you, a date at a nightclub is not a good idea either. He didn't dance. I didn't dance. You can't talk to each other. It's a very boring place to be. Anyway, I was sitting there, and suddenly I suddenly had this revelation. This is so boring. This is just boring. Who's told me this was going to be the fun way to live out here in the world? It's like everyone was mean. There was no community. I felt like this was horrible. There was no connection. I'm like, why am I here? And in that moment, I came to my senses. And I said, I need to go back to my Heavenly Father. I need to turn back. And I did. I just like this son, I turned and said, God, I'm so sorry. Come on, God, I need the connection with you as my Father. Come on, give him some praise. Because I know most of us in this room have made that decision to go, but we started at the far away. And some of us are still far away. We're still not connected. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to lean into God, to step into that relationship today. But I love that Jesus put the other son in the story. I love it because, you know, we've made that decision to be in God's house, to be helping, serving, part of what he's doing, connected to him, yet we still experience hurt. We still find ourselves with pain in our hearts. We still find ourselves with disappointment. We can still be discouraged. We can still wonder, why God? Where's my husband? Why God? Where's my miracle? Why God? Why am I still sick? Why God? We can find ourselves in the house of God and connected to him, but wondering, where's my thing? So God is saying, I connect with you each individually where you're at. Every relationship that our Heavenly Father has with us is with us individually. Not what's going on in their life, what's going on in that life, but individually. God interacts with us, each one. But why? Why this story today, Helen? Well, 2 weeks ago when Richard was sharing, he was preaching about us being donkeys. If you didn't hear that message, it was a great word. Us being donkeys. And just being willing to be part of God's house and do what he's doing, God dropped in my heart right there in the front row. He said, what about the servants in the prodigal son? I was like, oh. And the Holy Spirit gave me these three thoughts. The servants were ready. The servants belonged. And the Spirit is at work bringing in the lost. So in this story, I want to go back to verse 22, to a part of the story that I think I've never really thought about before until God dropped it in my spirit right there in that row. So let's go back. Verse 22. It says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. The servants were ready. The servants were right there. The father, the word says that the father had walked a long way out. He'd gone out to meet the son. And then the son says to him, sorry, I'm so sorry, Dad. Like, oh, look, just let me work for you. I'm better off just working for you. And so the son's apologized, he's repentant, and the father's response is to his servant straight away, quick, go make lunch. Quick, go get the fatted calf. Quick, go get the ring, get the sandal, get everything ready. The servants were right there with the father. The servants were around the father. They were leaning in. They were ready. They were hungry to do whatever the father wanted them to do. The servants were going about the father's business. They were concerned with what the father was concerned about. You know, it says that he was waiting for this son to return. He was interested in the lost one. He was focused on those who weren't yet in the room. And the servants were preparing everything so that when he came back, they would be ready. Yeah. It says they were preparing a fattened cow. Well, a cow just doesn't turn up fat. They'd chosen this cow long, long before. I've never picked a fat. I've never done any grazing. I don't have any history in cow preparation. But, you know, I know when you go to the supermarket, there's the ones that like grain-fed from Special Hills, King Island. Maybe it was King Island cow. Maybe they'd taken it far away and prepared it well. Like this wasn't something they just got up that morning and, oh, there's a cow, grab it. No. They'd been preparing the fattened cow for a special occasion. The servants were prepared. The ring, you know, when your grandma, you'll say, Grandma, can I have that beautiful ring? And she'll be like, oh, I don't know where I've left it. She'll have to go digging in the bottom of the drawer. You know, no, these servants were ready. The ring was ready. They knew where it was. The robe they were going to put on this son was ready. It wasn't screwed up in a ball in the bottom of a box with moth holes in it and buried somewhere and it was crushed. No, it was ready. The father said, go, and they went. All these things were prepared. The servants were co-workers with the father. And you know what? We so often love being sons. We want to be the sons in the house, but we get to be the servants as well. We get to be the servants and the sons, and so we can get about the Father's business, be doing what's on His mind, be focused on what has His attention. Is this encouraging you this morning that we get to be co-workers with the Father? Come on. The word doulos, which is the word for servant here in the Scripture, which is different from the word for the hired servants who were just there for the day. Here's your wage, off you go. These servants were special. The word doulos says that they were devoted to another to the disregard of their own interests. They were a body of people who had chosen to be connected to a landowner, a leader, a farmer, and they would partner with him and basically be contracted for life. That they would come and serve and work, but return, that's the word that we were looking for. What a great word, hey? In return for that. Oh dear. Okay. So in return for their work and their labor, they were paid. They had food, they had somewhere to live, and they received a wage. But this was a lifelong commitment. These people were part of the family. These people were really just like the sons. These people had ownership, they had authority in the house, they belonged, there was family and community. But they were ready. The servants were ready. And I want to tell us, Lifehouse, we're ready. We're ready. God's doing good things. We're ready. His servants, we're ready. Because we are designed as His handiwork to... God's designed us to do His good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do okay, we're almost awake. One more try. To do, yay, come on, to do good works prepared in advance for us. We are elected, the Bible tells us, elected, chosen. You know, we appoint people to government in this country and we hope that they're going to serve the people. We hope they're going to, oh, they'll get some special treatment. They might get to drive in a VIP car. They might get to go to fancy dinners. There's going to be blessings in that because, you know, elected people have blessings like we have in the kingdom of God. But we hope they're going to serve. They're going to take up the responsibility of looking after the people. Yes? Isn't that what we want? Well, God says, you're my elected people. You get to take up the responsibility of caring for my people. This is a privilege. This is a great thing to be able to do. I remember my dad, he was a carpenter, and in the school holidays, from when I was probably about 12 years old, every school holidays I would be his labourer. He told me I was his best labourer. Just putting it out there. And so I was his labourer. I'd go on site with him. I'd climb on roofs, do whatever. I absolutely loved it. He paid me $3 an hour. And he'd pay me from the moment we left home until the moment we came home. So I was very happy with 15-hour days because I would be counting the whole day. Anyway. But I felt so honoured that my dad would want me to work with him. That my dad invited me to be a labourer in his business. I felt so important. I'd be on site and all the tradies would come in and be like, oh, what's a girl doing here? This is back in the day when girls didn't do that. Now you can do it. But and I'd feel so important, so special because my dad invited me to work with him. And our Heavenly Father invites us to work with him, to partner with him as his servants. Come on. The Bible describes servants because sometimes we can think that servant is a lower thing, but servant, Abraham, Moses, David, Israel, the nation of Israel, Jesus and the apostles were all servants. They were the leaders, prophets, kings were all servants. So, you know, we get to be God's servants. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we go, but especially in this space. We get to be family, we get to be community, but we get to be his hands and his feet. You know, whether it's singing lessons. I took up singing lessons when we first got married because I sort of worked out that everybody who was a singer seemed to like be special in the God space. Have you noticed that? Like, are any of you like, oh, wow, maybe I could serve God. Maybe I should be a singer. So that's what I thought. I'll serve God. I'll be a singer. And this will be really special. And so I took some lessons for about a year. And then eventually those around me said, why don't you find another way to serve God? So, you know, the idea is we all do what we're good at. We all use our gifts, our talents, whether it's shaking someone's hand, whether it's smiling at someone, whether it's cooking a meal. And I remember, you know, my girlfriends, we would all get together and we would just share food together and we'd say, we wanted to be together. We wanted to have fellowship and community. So I would ring up my one friend and say, I've got chicken legs. What have you got? She'd say, well, I've got potatoes. And then the next one would say, I've got sweet potatoes. And so we would just throw it all together and be together, bring what we have as we are servants in the house. You know, I taught my kids to be portable. Had strangers live in my home. I've seen hands and feet of Jesus, people painting walls in here. I've seen people navigating social media. I've seen people building kitchens. I've seen people praying with others. I've seen people listening to somebody's story, taking the time to listen and hear what's going on in someone's heart. I've seen people going to someone's funeral to just share and support and be there for family and friends. I've seen people playing instruments, stacking chairs, supporting a new mum, writing grow group content. All these things are the servants of Jesus because we're concerned about what the Father's concerned about. And the Father is concerned about those who aren't in the room yet. The Spirit is at work to bring in the lost. And I know there's so many of you in this room who have found yourself here through random ways. I was somewhere and I just felt like I had to get to church. I just had to get to church. And here you are and you've gone on a journey of some months down the track or years down the track. Or you were at a point in your life where you were just like, God, if you're real, can you show up? God showed up. He was there because on the Father's heart is us that are in the room, the sons that are in the room. That's why Jesus put him in the story. So we don't feel like when we focus on who's not in the room that we then get neglected. God's concerned about every one of us individually, like I said, but he's also got his eyes outside the doors looking, seeking those who are ready to come to their senses
and turn to him so that he can then look to his servants, you and I, and go, wow, Alpha, Alpha's running? Awesome. Quick, go to Alpha. Oh my gosh, grow groups are running? Quick, go to grow group. Quick, move. Oh, food. Oh, people. Host team. Oh, this is prayer team. This person needs a miracle. Oh, who will I get them to go to? Prayer team. God's ready. God's like, okay, where's my servants? Are they ready? Are they prepared? Are they expecting this room to be full 4 times a week on a Sunday? 4 times? Are they expecting that? Are they ready for that? Are you ready for that, Lifehouse? Are you ready for that? Because I've got to tell you, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I don't know if this is catching you by surprise. The Bible talks about that Jesus is going to come back. It tells us so clearly that the return of the Lord will come. And it'll come with trumpets, it'll come, it'll be an amazing moment. But are we ready? Because he's actually waiting. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God's not lazy, he's waiting. The Lord isn't being slow about his promise as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. John 16:8 says to us that the Spirit reveals the heart. The Spirit's at work. The Spirit's at work, revealing hearts, showing hearts. Do you know me? What's going on in your heart? Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know if you're married, don't you? I know I'm married. And just like that, the Spirit testifies to us. Do you know God or not know God? If you're thinking, I don't know, do I know God? I got confirmed once. I got a bit of paper at home. There's a candle on my shelf. No. You know. You know, the Spirit confirms you. The Spirit says, you know me. I know you. If you don't have that, then you need to reach out. You need to say, God, I need you. God, I want to know you. But God himself is drawing people. God himself is drawing some of you in the room for the very first time here today, because God has drawn you like a pulley rope. He's pulling you into himself because the Father's heart is for us. The Father is leaning out, waiting, looking. The Father is eager. The Father is compassionate, kind, gracious, merciful. The Father is not who the devil has tried to make us think the Father is. The Father is good. The Father is sweet. The Father is desperate. He's waiting. And he's bringing them. The word says the field is white for harvest. The field is white for harvest. And church, we are his servants and we're ready. And God wants to do a great work through this house. You know, I said recently that prophetic words are so exciting. You know, when someone prophesies something, that means when they, you know, they might have a picture that God's given them or a word that God's given them, an encouragement that we feel is directly from heaven. And as Christians, we can get very excited about prophetic words. Get our journal out, write it down. These are all the great things God's going to do. And they are the great things God's going to do, but you and I have to outwork as servants what God's going to do. We have to be the carriers of that. And God said he's going to open this house, that people are going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come hungry to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to find hope, to find love, to find encouragement, to find friendship, to find community, to find a place to belong, to find healing in their hearts, to find wholeness. They're going to come. They're going to come. And we are going to be ready. We are ready. We're ready to embrace them. We're ready to welcome them. We're ready. We're ready for God to continue to do a work in our hearts, but we're ready to open our arms to receive who God is waiting to receive. And, you know, the question, whenever, we prepare a message, whenever we look in Scripture, we should always ask the question, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? So Jesus is telling this story. Where does Jesus put himself in this story? Oh, this is so awesome. In verse 21, The son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So the son repents. This word repent. The son says, I'm sorry. I realize I've been without you. I've done life with, I've gone and I've turned my back on you, Father. That's what the son says. The father's response is kill the fattened calf. Sacrifice. Let blood flow. Let forgiveness flow instantly. That calf represents forgiveness. That calf represents Jesus. That as soon as we say, Jesus, Father, I'm sorry, Jesus' blood covers us. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross comes on our lives. God releases it. He releases his full forgiveness. Our past is gone. Jesus comes and rescues us in an instant. In an instant. And this story, Jesus is saying, this is what the Father is going to do for every single one of you. Instantly. Be reminded, Christian. Be reminded of what God did for you. That moment you went from darkness to light. He put the robe of righteousness on you. He put Christ's purity on you. He put wholeness on you. Your past is gone. Nothing can be held against you. Jesus says, you are pure in me. He put a ring on his finger, a covenant of promise that once you receive Jesus, you're connected to God. You're a son. And he put shoes on his feet. He gave him the power. He gives us the power to walk in God's ways instantly. So Jesus, right here in this story, gives us the gospel of what Jesus has done for us. And today, I just want to say, come to the Father, every one of us.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.